Tech News Briefing is supported by FTI Consulting. From the world's largest cyber breaches to global fraud investigations, FTI Consulting is the number one expert-based firm organizations turn to in their moments of truth. Learn more at FTIconsulting.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, July 7th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. A new Tesla facility in Buffalo was supposed to house a huge solar panel manufacturing operation, but things haven't turned out as planned. Musk had said it would be churning out enough solar shingles to cover 1,000 roofs a week by now, but analysts at Wood Mackenzie say the company's only averaging 21 installations a week. WSJ reporter Ted Mann is going to join us to explain why New York put $1 billion into the effort and what went wrong. But first, it's not exactly the cage match they talked about, but the fight between Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg has gotten more intense with the release of Threads, Meta's new Twitter competitor. Like we told you on our last show, the app launched Wednesday through Instagram, and it's already gained tens of millions of users. On Thursday, a lawyer for Twitter sent a letter to Meta questioning whether Threads was a, quote, misappropriation of trade secrets or intellectual property, and claiming that Meta has hired Twitter employees and assigned them to work on Threads. Instagram denied the allegations. But for users, what's Threads got going for it? And what are some of the drawbacks? Our personal tech reporter Anne-Marie Alcantara joins us with the details. So Anne-Marie, tell us, what does Threads look like and how do you use it?
So Threads is very text-focused. And basically, once you sign up and get your profile set up, you'll be greeted with like a feed that includes some people you follow, but also a lot of people you don't follow. Sort of just like what's popular on the app right now. And you can reply, you can like, you can start threading and posting things of your own.
So if you want to share your thoughts, is it like Twitter? Is there a character limit? Is there a bubble that I need to fill in?
Yeah, so just like many other social platforms, there is a character limit, 500 characters. And if you do post a video, the limit there is 5 minutes. And you can also add, you know, a photo if you want.
The platform just came out the other day, but I wonder if there are any features that people feel like are missing or they're already saying need to be added to the app.
Yeah, so there are several features that some other social platforms have that Threads does not. For example, a big one is there's no edit button. There's no direct messaging available on Threads so far. Another key feature is the feed. So as I mentioned, you know, the feed right now is populated by some people you follow and then people you don't follow. And so people really want some sort of feed of like the people you follow or something chronological. And those are just a few key ones that people are missing right now.
You know, another thing I noticed was missing from the platform is advertising. How are ads factoring into all of this?
Brands are on the platform and they can advertise to you like they do on Instagram with organic posts. The team has told us that right now the priority is to make the app fun and great for people and creators. And so ads are just not being prioritized. But it is Meta, so there's probably going to be ads at some point.
Well, what about the issue of privacy, which is something, you know, a lot of people think about with any new social media platform, and certainly something they think about when they think about Meta and some of its existing platforms like Instagram or Facebook?
So in regards to privacy, Threads has two privacy policies. They have the usual Meta privacy policy that already exists, and then they have a supplemental Threads one that goes deeper into Threads-specific things that occur on the platform, such as deactivating and deleting your account. There's a line in there about if you do decide to delete your Threads account, you'll also need to delete your Instagram account, at least for now.
And we should add that Instagram's head, Adam Mosseri, said in a Threads post yesterday that the company is looking for ways to let users delete their Threads account without losing their Instagram account. So we'll keep an eye on that. But Anne-Marie, how different overall is Threads from Twitter?
Because Threads started off of like Instagram's user base, it's very different in that you don't really have to try too hard to find people to follow. You know, you can easily carry that over. Obviously, on Twitter, you had to start from zero. And then another key one is this sort of decentralized social networking protocol that Threads will soon be compatible with. It's something we've seen on a different social networking platform called Mastodon. And basically, it's like if I email you from a Gmail account and you're on a Microsoft email account, we can email each other with no problem. And that's sort of the protocol that Threads will be adopting soon, where you can potentially have an account on a different social platform, but bring it over to Threads and use it that way. But it's not available yet.
Practically, what's that going to mean?
It's not totally clear what this will look like. It could be something where if you have a big following on your Twitter account, for example, and Twitter adopts this protocol and Threads adopts it, you could then take the same followers you have from your Twitter or whatever social networking platform to Threads so you don't have to start over and you keep the same audience. It's definitely a feature, you know, a lot of creators and influencers really want.
All right, that's our personal tech reporter, Anne-Marie Alcantara. Coming up, a billion-dollar flop in New York. We'll explain why the state's bet on solar panels built by Elon Musk's companies isn't playing out like it hoped. We're back in a moment.
This podcast is brought to you by the Kellogg School of Management. Getting to the next level of your career requires a next-level education. At Kellogg, you'll choose from full-time, part-time, or executive MBA programs where you'll gain the Wall Street edge you need to compete for the most coveted jobs. For more details, visit kell.gg/leader. That's kell.gg/LEADER.
Over the past decade, New York State has spent nearly $1 billion supporting an ambitious plan from Elon Musk to build what was supposed to be the biggest solar panel factory in the Western Hemisphere. It was meant to bring jobs and boost the local economy. This is how former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo described the project back in 2015.
You almost have to pinch yourself, right? That this is too good to be true.
8 years later, it may actually be too good to be true. Ted Mann reported on this for the Wall Street Journal, and he joins me now. Ted, tell us how this started. Was New York originally planning to make this investment for Elon Musk?
So this started as a relatively small startup. It was a company called Solevo that the state was going to offer to help get up and running with a factory. But while they were in the negotiation of that subsidy deal, Solevo was purchased by SolarCity, which at the time was the largest solar panel installation company in the country. Its chairman and largest investor was Elon Musk.
So then, as some listeners will remember, Tesla bought SolarCity. How did the company originally plan to use the facility?
The original plan, and this is what Cuomo and his administration and various leaders, including the Buffalo's mayor and the county executive, they were all saying that they were going to revive the manufacturing economy of Buffalo. Buffalo was historically a big manufacturing hub in the United States. It had fallen on hard times. The steel industry had largely departed. And they were saying what would happen in this giant building that the state built in Buffalo was the production of solar panels, that this was where New York State and by extension the U.S. was going to take the lead in producing solar panels, which are mostly produced in China. And that just never came to pass for a number of different reasons. The technology that SolarCity thought it was going to get when it purchased Solevo was not as good. Musk and Tesla were much more consumed with getting some of their automotive products to market. And basically the vision that Cuomo and the state were promoting, which was that this would be a huge manufacturing operation that would have multiplier effects across the city and across the region, with suppliers coming to flock to be near the factory and workers in graduating from high schools and vo-tech schools in Buffalo able to get really good, well-paying manufacturing jobs. That is just not what happened.
So what has happened? What's the situation now?
Tesla has workers in the building. They are doing some assembly of some solar products, including what Tesla calls a solar roof, which is like a roofing shingle with a solar cell embedded in it. Tesla is keeping up with the terms of its subsidy agreement with the state, which required a certain number of jobs created every year of the 10-year deal. But they're doing that in part with jobs that they've moved into Buffalo from other places. They're doing assembly of some of the charging units, for instance. And then one of the largest units in the building is actually just what they call data analysts. These are people who are looking at images essentially of streetscapes, and they're trying to input those images and code them to train the algorithm that Tesla hopes one day will actually provide a self-driving car.
What has the company said about the fact that it is not using the facility in the same way that it had originally planned or was originally designed for?
In its reports to the state, Tesla describes, you know, a broad array of work that's happening within the building. They paint a fairly rosy picture of having invested in the facility, and they're essentially being jobs that relate to various parts of what they sell.
And what has New York said about this? Because we know the state has spent $1 billion, but what's it said about what it's getting out of this?
The short answer is the state hasn't said very much. Cuomo wouldn't talk to us. The agency that oversees the subsidies and the agreement with Tesla did give us a statement saying that they believe that Tesla has had a positive effect on the regional economy. There are also state officials and elected officials who were skeptical of this from the beginning, who are basically saying, I told you so, that we didn't get anywhere near what we should have gotten for plowing $1 billion worth of the public's cash into the ground.
What is Tesla getting out of the deal?
So Tesla's deal is a 10-year agreement to occupy a building that was constructed for them by the state. And they pay $1 a year to occupy that space. There's a possibility of an extension for another 10 years when they get to the end of the first. In return, they're supposed to create a baseline number of jobs, and they're keeping pace with that so that they don't have to pay a penalty of about $41 million for failing to hit that threshold. So right now, it means that there are, as of February, around 1,700 permanent jobs in that factory. But yeah, they're getting a very good deal in terms of the real estate. $1 a year, it's tough to beat. And the state also purchased $240 million worth of solar panel production equipment, and that has mostly been sold at a discount or scrapped at this point.
Big picture, are there lessons that other states might take away as they kind of look to attract new manufacturers to areas of their states as well?
Some of the people we talked to would say the biggest lesson to take away is that the state shouldn't have been in the position of putting up the capital here. The broader theme is how many governors in so many states are competing with one another to create bigger and bigger economic aid packages to try to lure big companies like Tesla to invest in their states. There are a lot of people who follow this who see this as essentially a race to the bottom, and they see more and more generous deals happening where it's not really clear that the public is getting what it should based on how much money they're willing to spend.
All right, that's our reporter, Ted Mann. And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. TNB's producer is Julie Chang, our supervising producer is Melanie Roy, and our executive producer is Chris Zinsley. I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.